Welcome, everyone. Great to see you all. So many lovely faces. My name is Carell Centers, and I'm the events director here at Bookshop Santa Cruz. Tonight, we're thrilled to celebrate Winter in America again. Poets respond to 2024 election. So let's give a round of applause for that. In a moment, I will turn things over to Roxy Power, co-editor of the anthology and our MC for tonight's event. But first, a couple of housekeeping notes. This is a good time to silence your devices if you have not already had a chance to do so. The audience thanks you. And some upcoming events we hope you'll join us for. We have some great poetry events coming up this month and next month. On April 14th, we'll be celebrating the outgoing and incoming poet laureates of Santa Cruz County, Farnaz Fatemi and Nancy Miller Gomez. So that'll be right here in the store. And on May 13th, we'll have our next Hive live reading featuring Francisco Aragon and Adela Najaro. So really excited for those. And in non-poetry events, we also have Malcolm Harris coming to Bookshop for his new book, What's Left? Three Paths Through the Planetary Crisis. That's gonna be on April 24th. And then on May 21st, poet Maggie Smith will join us to share her new book, Dear Writer, Pep Talks and Practical Advice for the Creative Life. I'm really excited for that one. She's awesome. So we hope to see you at a future event, and you can find more from our calendar on our website, our Instagram, or check out the flyer over here, where you can also pick up a copy of the book. Please do check out this book tonight. Your purchase at Bookshop Santa Cruz supports our free community programming, keeps our doors open for everyone. We super appreciate your support. And there'll be a book signing after the event. We'd love to have you make sure you purchase that book before getting your book signed, because once it's signed, it's yours. So if you can purchase it first, that's much appreciated. For the signing, the poets will stay in the front row here, and then you can kind of come up and visit with them. We won't be doing a table because there's six poets, so they won't all fit at our table tonight. Okay, well, that's about it. I'm so pleased to introduce Roxy Power. Roxy is a poet, performer, and publisher whose book, The Songs That Objects Would Sing, was published in 2023. She co-edited Winter in America Again, in a rapid speed, by the way, and founded the transgenre anthology series Viz Inter Arts at the University of California, Santa Cruz, where she also teaches. Roxy podcasts and organizes readings for the Hive Poetry Collective on KSQD 90.7 FM, and performs live film narration or neo-benshi around the country. Roxy received an MFA in poetry from Cornell University, won an AWP Intro Award, and has been published in American Poetry Review, Black Warrior Review, Puerto del Sol, Seneca Review, and more. And we're so pleased to have her among our esteemed poets in Santa Cruz. Please join me in welcoming Roxy Power.
Did you guys bring the rain? Good job. We need it, don't we? What a beautiful spring evening. Thank you so much for coming out, everybody. I'm so excited that you're all here. So I guess you already know who I am, so I don't have to say who I am. We're really lucky tonight that we have two fantastic Washington State poets with us, Paul Nelson and Matt Trees, who have come all the way. Woo-hoo. Yes, woo! And unfortunately, we don't have a third Washington State poet, Robert Lashley, because there was a death in the family. But look up his work, he's amazing. And we also have some local phenoms, of course, Dane Servine, Julia Chiapella, and Dion O'Reilly. I'll also be reading. So I'm very grateful to the ever-generous Carell Centers and Bookshop, Saya, everybody, for hosting this timely event together in poetry and resistance. I appreciate the chance to slow down inside the eye of these incessant bomb cyclones? Political bomb cyclones, to reground and respond creatively rather than just to always react in fear. And we're so lucky to have a community that loves poetry here in Santa Cruz to do just that. So, yeah. So thank you. So tonight, as you can imagine, vis-a-vis the subtitle of the book, we are revisiting a traumatic event for many, the 2024 election, with poets who help us to reimagine new forms of resistance or survival, with language that, in the words of situationist Henri Lefebvre, changes the situation, we think, rather than merely documenting it. The book's title, which is Paul Nelson's brainchild, comes from Gil Scott Heron's song, which was a kind of anthem, at least for me, during the early 80s in the Reagan era, and the poet activist that I hung with. And here we are again, not to be confused with, there you go again, another obnoxious Reaganism. But I guess that's the nature of trauma. You have to relive it until you do something different that changes things, right? And people like us turn to poetry just for that, hoping that the elevation of language that exceeds representation and rant might foster a consciousness of collaboration and healing. We'll need each other in this community that we've been building for so long to get through this. As for the construction of this bomb cyclone of an anthology, there were 8 co-editors who put it together in about 7 weeks. Between the election and then the deadline of December 15th and then the publication date of January 20th, for an inauguration day, we had a Zoom meeting, 100 people showed up, so there's been a lot of interest in it. And we're still shaking and quaking from these efforts. But when such culture-shattering change hits us this fast, we must respond in kind. And not culture-shattering kind, but just speedily. And so it usually takes me 7 years, did I already mention that, to put out an anthology. In fact, if you do buy our anthology tonight, the first 8 of you, I should have said 7, but anyway, there's 7 interventionist arts, and then there's this little orphan blue one that was the first one that has New York school poets in it and stuff. Interventions, Viz Inter Arts is another anthology series I put together, and I'll give you one for the first 8 of you that come up. Having bought a book. So anyway, we have 100 people in this new collection of ours, and we'll continue to have them do readings around the country. We'll have another one on April 15th at Satori Arts through Interact with some of these same characters. So with 8 poet editors, you can imagine that the resulting mix of poems is pretty diverse in terms of style, region, and focus. The unifying thread among such a gathering was the call, which emphasized compassion over angry screeds. Paul Nelson can tell you a little bit more about that in his brief introduction, because he and Katie Sarazale kind of came up with that notion through Sam Hamill's, I'll just let you talk about that. But first, as always, I want to acknowledge all the co-editors, Katie Sarazale, Paul E. Nelson, Alia Abdullah-Mata, Gabriela Gutierrez E. Moose, who will be reading on the 15th, C. Christy White and Teresa Whitehill. Greg Bim is the publisher. And to honor the massive work of putting this fabulous book together at lightning speed for right when we need it, I hope you'll purchase a copy tonight. The ever generous bookshop needs us to buy books so that they can continue to do these events. Small presses and independent bookstores rely on us. I think I just can't do this as well as Ellen Bass. I'm trying. But anyway, I think we should get going, right? And so, yeah, it's about time. So buy the book after the reading, then come back, have it signed. And now, Paul Nelson, my partner in so many creative crimes, who kindly invited me to be part of this project, and who has also invited me to work with him on the next edition, which he'll tell you about. Paul E. Nelson, am I still talking? Founded the Cascadia Poetics Lab and Cascadia Poetry Festival. Books include Day Song Miracle, Past 62, Cascadian Prophets, Interviews, Haibun de la Serna, A Time Before Slaughter, Pig War, and other poems. There's more. Here he is. Cascadia Zen, Volumes 1 and 2. He's the literary executor for the late Sam Hamill. So please, everybody, give it up for Paul Nelson.
I'm so grateful to be here, so grateful that you came out tonight. Sorry for all the rain we brought from Seattle. Roxy said bring a box of rain, and we brought a box car of rain. Katie Sarazale is working on a biography of Sam Hamill. Sam founded Copper Canyon Press 51 years ago, something like that. Yeah, 51. And she called me the day after the election and she said, what are we going to do? You know, what would Sam do? Sam would create an anthology. He did, Poets Against the War, to oppose the war that George Bush, really that Dick Cheney, started. And I said, yes, let's do it, and let's get it out by Inauguration Day. And we did it. And we didn't realize how much work it would be and how sick would we get from having 4 2-hour Zoom sessions a day for several days to try and go through all of this. And 8 editors is too much. We learned our lesson the hard way, and the next book is going to have 4 editors, and we're waiting until we plan to put it out October of next year, in time for the midterms. We hope there will be midterm elections. I guess that's in doubt right now. So what we can do is gather in places like this, this beautiful bookstore. What we can do is discuss the opposition that we have to all of these policies. What the poets can do is begin to write all this down, because I don't think they're going to believe it in even 10 or 20 years. We need to be witnesses right now at this time. And Brenda Hillman's repertorial poetics, Ed Sanders' investigative poetry, all these methods are, now's your chance to work on them. From the introduction, for this anthology, we ask poets and artists to respond to their feelings about the election, to reflect deeper than conscious anger, keeping in mind the words of Sam Hamill in his introduction to Poets Against the War, an anthology he published in response to George W. Bush's 2003 plan to wage war on Iraq. He said, "These are the voices of our poets. They come from every segment of society. They also celebrate our country by expounding a compassionate view of the universe. A government is a government of words. And when these words are used to mislead, to instill fear, or to invite silence, it is the duty of every poet to speak fearlessly and clearly." And to have a book of angry poems, there's lots of reason for anger, but that's what we're getting from that other side. Can we get to a point where we can have compassion? Perhaps not now, but maybe that's something to strive for, as long as we can fix what's going on. And I do believe that good things will come from this. I'm with Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Do you know her poem, A Prayer? Google that one and see what she said, and I agree with her. So I'm going to read 2 poems from the book in 1 newer piece. And this was written at the Subud House after doing Latihan in Seattle. I get to see where the Subud House here is in town tomorrow on our way to the airport. I hope so. Self-care tips for the new winter in America. Breathe. Practice the self. Walk. Take the bus. Vacate social mierda. Be careful to whom you surrender. Imagine what the mind of the creek would advise as your next move. Stay sober. No amount of wine can erase the enabled hate. Don't worry. Worry is a misuse of the imagination De Prima knew knows as holy. Grieve, then organize. Recognize your bioregion. Ginkgo leaves still fall. Watch them fall. Breathe again. Vow kindness. Constant creation of the self is a tricky mess. It's winter in America again, but always was to many mammals. Vow to end winter in America for them. Adopt C.A. Conrad's intrusion technique. Squeeze toes. Intrusions are temporary, as is every winter. Don't wait for a hero. The hero era's over. Meditate on the image of a Valkyrie and her teacher, swan and or warrior forms. Eat lighter. Put a face on your food. Hyper-local. Listen to Carla Bley. Forge local spaces of difference and social tactics of resistance. Get acupuncture. Breathe mugwort. Bolster electrolytes. Sing the body electric. Build social housing, which we are in Seattle. Enact Medicare for all. Do not patronize monopolies. The best response to a poem is another poem. How to live in a moment that is at once daily and mythic. Sit zazen. Do latihan. Keep a war journal. Contemplate. Not so much content, but atmosphere. Blue mental health down by the duck potato. Social doses of penis envy. Envision, that's a hallucinogenic mushroom, by the way, just because you were. Envision regime change. Get money out of politics. Oppose oligarchy. No, there are no good billionaires. Tantra felicidad. Free Palestine. Free Leonard Peltier. Hear indigenous elders. Honor ancestral homelands. Light sage. Smudge everything. Notice the crimson and golds and veins and fallen maple leaves. Note your breath. Try not to bite anyone. Avoid AI. AI is the aspartame of consciousness. Show up for yourself. Sing, whistle, hear the creek. Get your teeth clean. Get a soak. Do yoga. Kapalabhati breathing. Shining skull breath. Light a white candle. Practice sound poetry. Savor vowel sounds. Listen. Find your place where you are. Begin practice. Actualize the fundamental point. Commit. Seek harmony and harmonious intersections. Forget the self. Deepen gratitude. Become a mammal patriot. Finish. This poem references Wanda Coleman. She'd have a thing or two to say about what's going on right now. Winter in America again. Wanda's words were, when under the gun, who has time to keep a war journal? So lays down the task for reality government 2.0. WWF style FBI and CIA ought to scare the lion-hearted. Yet here we sit, wonder how the common people prosper. How withstand bomb cyclones of the atmospheric and cultural, make friends with all enemies within. We once called it intersectionality and found harmony lacking, though Brenda said Occupy gave us clues. In partial November sun, we seek allies. Winter's but one season, though this one's run set for 1,461 days, not counting last days between the neoliberal and the WWFification of we the people. An eagle at Zazen's end in need of breakfast, past the candlelight, guides Thursday meditation. Vow to harm nothing here. Vow to enter Dharma gates, one of which may be this winter again in U.S. America. This is not bottomless dark. There is no bottom but sky. No sky can't be nourished with what the small intestine won't need. No beginnings except after endings. We must respect choking on the fumes of the neoliberal. Du Fu watching the aura's gold and silver grace nights. Michael McClure reducing it to a grrrr. Olson pleading the polis, which he knew somehow in the 50s was eyes. Joanne in the Bolinas backyard, quail counting, the last days of eco-poetics. Worried nature poetry is Brenda's definition of eco-poetics. And with each whiff of worry redirected into the prayer rug, we remember our vow to free the numberless beings. The crow murder hightailing it to the roost before the bomb cyclone. The Doug Fir smashing the empty metro bus. Those who would guard congressional bathrooms rather than legislate for the polis. So goes the end of empire, which can't withstand the depths of the Aquarian age or whatever juju stands in the way of he who won't be named and his cabinet of predators. My war journal has just begun, as you are my witness, and as history attempts to repeat itself in the home of the brave. We have at least three poetry postcard poets in the room, something we do every year. This year is the 19th year. Last year we had 608 postcard poets in 8 different countries. I have postcard bookmarks. Arthur Tooley and I have been exchanging postcards outside of the fest, and I wrote to him. He lives in Yakima. He's a Yakima tribal member. And I wrote him this postcard, and it has a very long epigraph. Marianne Williamson talking to Daniel Pinchbeck. America's decline is not solely Trump's doing. Rather, this is the inevitable consequence of decades of Western economic and military dominance built on short-term exploitation, corruption, and global predation. Trump's role is to mask this systemic unraveling with populist rhetoric while enabling the true power holders, the transnational, financial, and corporate elite, or what Bolson calls the a-national owners and controllers of global financial capital, to consolidate their wealth, power, and control as America is hollowed out and broken. A-national art, meaning without nation, making the case in Cascadia for the post-national. So many nations, so little time, he said, in the era of free Leonard Peltier, he said, striving for what Ronald Johnson called a lineaged clarity. Just searching for information from the air, Joanne'd say. Peltier, Johnson, Kiger, Brenda, Wanda, Bernie, Malcolm, Martin Dogan, Madame Blavatsky, Cassius, picking my lineage out of the thick Cascadia lakeside clouds, as the wife makes meaty rutabaga plans, root and baggy, lump, bunch. Just letting this seafoam green royal classic fancy dance atop the box of Morning Summit, aka fuel for the revolution. Hang in there. Our next poet is also here from Seattle. Matt Treese is a poet, artist, teacher, and astrologer. He can tell you when Mercury goes direct. He knows it, but he doesn't have to Google it. He serves on the board of the Cascadia Poetics Lab, co-curates the Margin Shift reading series, and serves as the poetry editor for the Cayley Review. His poetry has appeared in numerous journals and anthologies. He is the author of the just-published The Outside and chapbooks Later Heaven and Record Text. Please welcome Matt Treese.
By the way, and I'm just double-checking, Mercury goes direct on April 7th. So, let's see here. So in March of 2020, much like Paul was talking about in his poem about what to do, I was sitting at my kitchen counter watching a lot of things fall apart as an astrologer. I had been quite aware that 2020 was going to be a crazy ass year, and that this year was not going to be any less dramatic, and I decided to start keeping a poem journal. So I did pretty much a prose poem a day from the end of March through October. And with an exception, I kind of got distracted in August because my job at the hospital got laid off, so I had to start looking for work. But other than that, I think I churned out over 100 or close to 100 prose poems. So I'm going to read a few of those. Two of them are in the anthology. One of them here is not, but this is from my entry from May 26th, 2020, and this is the day after we learned about what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd. It begins with an epigraph from Tom Petty. The waiting is the hardest part. How many times do we have to come full circle in this labyrinth of the in-between? The wheels of creation get spinning and you begin to see glimpses of what's to come. And then you run smack into that abusive authority, those inner cops that just can't adapt, that have to hold us all down in terror. It's like an endless loop. How long, oh Lord, how many times do we have to witness this shame before we can allow our inner subaltern the inheritance we all deserve? an abundant life, a promised land? Often I am permitted to enter, yet so often I don't. I find excuses. I pass judgment, refuse entry to those parts of myself I don't yet understand. It is a made place, built from thought and feeling in motion, a duration I have to hold to make real, not some two-dimensional Thomas Kincaid fantasy, but the all of me, which is all of us and is good enough, is not lacking any part. If I want the world, I have to accept it, all of it, else it tears at all that is and leaves me here in this not-so-metaphoric hell. Rest in power, George Floyd. And then the next day, with an epigraph from Dr. Cornel West, America is a failed social experiment. Last night, the country was on fire with a righteous anger. We are on the verge of a new world, and yet that same old corruption rears its ugly mug. Another cop killing a black man for breathing and getting maybe only 5 months, and a boys will be boys. Try being poor and getting your stolen shit recovered, though. We'll call you if anything turns up. Please, we got a deeply disturbing fetish for bullies in uniforms. It's time we looked at that for what it is. Asked why we need to see unequal violence to feel safe, as though that poor man or woman were our whipping boy, our totem to protect our insecurity. On to, if we believe all men are created equal, we gotta live up to that. This is the eye of the needle, folks. And are we camels carrying a desert full of baggage, or are we nimble and light, ready to slip across that horizon to the dawn of a new place, the field where we make all this, where we make this all in our image. And then a couple from September, and these are the ones from the anthology. This first one begins with an epigraph from Stevie Nicks. When the rain washes you clean, you'll know. We have returned to the days of ash, the days of orange and purple sky. We've been unable to breathe for so long. How many years have we let this fire burn? We are burning inside out like we were years ago when the tower card was permanently etched in our DNA. Oh, Prometheus, if we only knew what it takes, this fire, this Armageddon, this Ragnarok, this full circle. Oh, Virgil, where have you taken us in this mortal life? Oh, ghost of Christmas yet to come, we have come again to the last days of human history, to that horizon threshold of a new world, and still the naysayers, the resentful hordes who desire their chains, threaten to drag us back. We've got some difficult days ahead. Like Dr. King, we've seen the promised land. It's within our reach. Our eyes to have seen the glory of the coming. May we get there soon. Feel the rain. When it comes, when it washes us, we'll know. We'll know. My body is a filter. The air is full of the disintegration of planetary history. We are losing our interstitial minds, and our lungs and kidneys and spleens are choking on it. Mars at a standstill, burning so hot with the collective rage fueling this year's novel apocalypse. We come again and again to the last days. Oh, Duncan, how many more times? How many more of these plagues will it take to let go of this deep-seated indignity that is America? A resource stolen, a new mythology of penance in place of in the beginning was the word, replaced with the slave master shouting, you have to earn your keep. Ain't no one got enough back to break to become a child of God. It's a spiritual pyramid scheme we've been conned and left with. This burning wilderness, this Eden on fire. They're destroying the evidence and denial, and the rest of us can't breathe, forced to sit, to be still and know the source of power. We've got it within us to flood this place, to bring the rain, to wash away the end of the world, to start anew. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. And next up is Julia Chiappella, whose poetry has appeared in Edison Literary Review, I-70 Review, the MacGuffin Midwest Quarterly, among others. A Pushcart Prize nominee, she is the retired director of the Young Writers Program that she established in 2012 in our beloved town. She received the Gail Rich Award for Creative Contributions for Santa Cruz County and is a member of the Hive Poetry Collective. Julia.
Thank you, Roxy. Oh, I got to follow those two guys.
Is the mic working, you guys? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? You have no?
It seems kind of like it's
really
not
close. Really close? Super close.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to read the poem that's in the anthology, and then I'm going to read two shorter ones. Oh, there I can hear it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe some of you might have read, I feel like I'm having to scrunch down. Myself. Yeah. And then I'll lean way over. Better?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's a little better. This morning, some of you might have seen it. It was on either Rattle or Poem of the Day. There was a poem that started with William Butler Yeats's quote, "When I quarrel with others, it's rhetoric. When I quarrel with myself, it's poetry." I thought of that with this poem I'm going to read that's in the anthology, because I woke up at 2 a.m. on November 7th wanting to check. I had gone to bed thinking, oh God, this can't be true. I got up, I checked, I saw what was happening, and the first thing that came through my feed was that white women had elected Trump, had been, you know, a large contingent in electing him. I sat down and wrote this because the first thing that came into my mind was Lady Macbeth. This is called "To Eat the Insane Root," after Lady Macbeth, November 6th, 2024. Oh, lady. In a country of many, you work round the promised fire. Consumptive, tell your name, your desire. See you, your certainty. Long white dress trailing in suds left from all that washing. It's clear those hands will never be clean. Oh, lady. You are soaked in red. 1,000 times down the halls, countless times in the dark, you have wound those hands through hair, through water, working, working for his bright ring. Because he spoke and you followed. Because all else was uncertainty. Because you wore terror like a halo. Oh, lady, when he carves his initials in your wrist, when the tides rise, take your children and sky's sorrow fills the mouth with gray ash, your appetite will erase future's gleam. And what you knew of duty's crushing gift the one you knelt to in surrender, in vanity, will rise in the wide profit of his dagger smile. I mean, we're all complicit, right? We are all complicit. And to gather in these spaces and to work for a better world, we keep thinking, what can I do? How do I respond? And gathering like this is one way. And being kind, as Paul said, to one another. So I'm going to read a few others. I'm working on a chapbook with artist friend of mine, who's a Linotype artist, and these somehow came up when I was thinking about the theme of the book. Maybe a little bit more hopeful than that last one, but full of the danger that is always present with us. What the bird couldn't know. Cathedral apse, it could have been. Box propped on a stick in the yard on Greenfield Street. Its dark interior laden gently with breadcrumbs. Our hungers betray us. I pulled the string and trapped the bird. Just nine, I was triumphant. A white feather trolled box's edge. We celebrate our victories unaware of where they lead. Arc de Triomphe, Arch of Titus, Monumento de Revolucion rise like leaden bureaucrats. Counting's the thing. While underneath stomachs growl the grind, centuries climb, everywhere is life's great flapping. A dime-sized peephole, let me see the winged thing. A mockingbird's wild eye and desperate beak gaped. There's evidence Napoleon rued his hand in human suffering. So, each step we take is a portal into what we cannot know. To keep the bird or let it go. So this last one is called Sunflowers. It's very short. I'm getting the 1 minute sign from Roxy, and I'll speed it up. Sunflowers. It's something, isn't it? The color burst flash, summer's nameplate at garden's edge. Faces tilted, the mane of gold riots across June's lap, but only briefly lasts. I know in every glory waits a dissolution. This upturned freshness, flare to the possible, this promise time does to us is also our knell. Caress the fade. How brilliantly it bends back into Earth's arms. The loamy purpose aching to replicate love's viciousness again and again.
Beautiful.
All right, and it's my pleasure to introduce Dane Servine. Dane is the author of Deep Travel, At Home in the Burning World, and other books of poetry. The three prose poems submitted to this book are part of a new manuscript entitled The Democratic Dreams of Animals and Gods. You can find his work at daneservine.typepad.com. Dane.
Good evening, everyone. That series that she mentioned was a way for me to delve into nature and myth, see if we can get some clues about how to operate as human beings. So these three short prose poems are all lined up here. And the first is, Where Are Our Grandmothers? Pods of orcas look to young females to lead them. Navigating vast seas, hunting for food, they communicate via echolocation Whistles, clicks, pulsed calls, low-frequency pops, jaw claps. Matrilineal, sociable, their sophisticated hunting techniques and vocalizations are passed across generations in language all their own. Unique sounds that resemble moans, trills, squeaks, creaking doors, varied in wavelength and volume, even pattern. But when food is scarce, the whales turn to older females to lead the clans. It takes generations to know enough to survive a changing world. A mother to understand what is at stake. A grandmother when you've completely lost your way. The next one. Great grandmother. My mom was one of the best grandmothers. And my wife. The next one's about bees. We can learn a lot from bees. This is called The Dance of Politics. Every level of nature has politics, whether you realize it or not. Honeybees, upon return from scouting missions, engage in competitive waggle dances to sway the swarm toward one new hive location or another. As if senators cut loose in the aisles, breakdancing their entreaties to one another, battling, floor rocking, freezing, locking, popping, whacking. This goes on for days, till the bee scouts, of which there are hundreds, either drop from contention or switch allegiance by adopting a competing faction's dance moves. If lucky, once consensus is reached, the hive finally makes new honey, bathing themselves in sticky pleasure, in liquid gold. And then finally, we could learn something from chimpanzees. Alpha males. Although chimpanzees have a reputation for violence, alpha males in the wild, relying too heavily on brute force, risk being deposed, even killed by their followers. Instead, says primatologist Franz de Waal, an able ape leader spends a lot of time literally grooming allies. This sounds democratic to me, he muses, shirt in need of irony, hair askew. It takes a village to raise a leader and to keep one in line. Thank you. And I'm happy to introduce Dionne O'Reilly. She's the author of Sadness of the Apex Predator, which is one of the best book titles I've ever heard, a finalist for the Steel Toe Book Prize and the Exophidia Prize. Ghost Dogs was winner of the Independent Press Award for poetry and runner-up for other prizes. Limerence from Floating Bridge Press was just published, and she's a podcaster and poetry workshop facilitator. There's Limerence. And splits her time between Santa Cruz and Bellingham, Washington.
Oh gosh, I just want to thank the whole world for letting me stand here right now in front of all you wonderful people. I think I'll start with the one in here. Can you hear me okay? Everyone hear me okay?
Can you
lower it a little bit? How's that? All right. Okay. So this poem was one that just came to me in a dream. All I had to do was wake up and write it down. And it was the night of the election that I dreamt, had this dream. Okay. Midnight. I awaken and write what I saw. Churning mass, greenish black, moving this way like Yeats's beast. but full of song, of animal pain, as in the pain of birth. I saw it, heard it, and was strangely unafraid. Gorgeous orchestra, rich thickness like magma from an unknown soul on its way to take us. I knew it would be years or more before it passed. But when it does, we'll barely notice. No sudden silence, no grand relief as with a bump of morphine, sweet genie of opium released. No, it will be a slow loss of shock, imperceptible lightening of a long morning. If we're alive, we'll notice we're alive. Pat down our limbs to check each part. Then we'll hold each other's faces in our palms, the way we hold a child's, make plain our love, no matter what we've done, in our terror, in our rage. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I've been feeling pretty weird ever since you know what happened. And, you know, it's hard for me to even describe because I've never really felt like this before. But sometimes there's just this combination of a fear in my mind along with, well, here we are in Santa Cruz, the acacia's blooming. It's beautiful and the world is so beautiful. And side by side, all this shit's happening. So I think poetry is a really good way to hold it all together in your mind. So here's a poem, and I wrote this all at once, too, oddly. It's called, Oh, for Fuck's Sake. Spring again. Yellow wreck of acacia, low slung branches, rain heavy, wind whipped, hitting the car roof on our way out. Pulse of poppy and sulfur weed rippling the field like worries in some unseen brain. My mind is split between a goat god, all sex fire, blade and pollen lust, and some death deity, sick of it all, ready to give up and become an accountant. Learned astronomer, maybe an AP English teacher, obsessed with trochees. Fuck it. I'm too porous. Everything rushes in. Everything that ever drove me crazy with stupid hope. Every letdown. Here it is. Today we stopped the car to look at one of those pale, migrating songbirds. Right before our eyes, a small hawk scooped her in his talons, laid her on a branch like a small, peeping sacrifice. No, don't stop it, I told my husband. That's it. That's spring. The hawk, as much as the warbler, her stupid song cut short. Okay. I just want to introduce the one reason I keep on living.
Welcome to that, Dion. Oh my God.
Roxy Power. Oh.
You actually said that. Oh my God. We were teasing about that.
It's true, Roxy.
Oh, yes, Dion. Okay, I just want to introduce the one reason why I might not be living soon, and it's Wyoming, which is where I'm from, but it's also my muse, and so I've written another Wyoming poem called I Think We Have an Atmosphere. All weather is a prayer for causes deracinated from each choice. The economy, the podcasts, the broligarchy, the Keurig, the water bottle, the plastic tub once filled with spinach float now in our future. Nylon nets catch in the throat. Untangle that. Such interiority is generic now. If X-rayed, we'd all be a host, so tangled we may end up united in the undertow just by chance. Inside our own weather, we tumble like semis down the Ho Chi Minh Trail, as they call I-80 in Wyoming, the Great Basin guffawing at us all. The greenery changes with each new rest stop, like switching channels, as if we're in control. The upper registers of trees dance, watch over us in the gust. Can I dance with Republicans? Some prefer earth, wind, and fire, so yes. How it felt in eighth grade when you weren't quite cute enough and they made sure you knew. There's a standard, poodle, who knows how to win. It's my party, I'll incite if I want to. He did grab the wheel, not hard enough. Noose waits for any flickering spectacle, a site-specific installation for a metaphorical neck, ours. It's why I can't sleep mornings, the thinness of that stem holding up the flower of my head as it sinks into the fog, willing to be shaped to the insurrection in one's mind. It leaves an imprint with clues for why they're clawing their way back to 1955. Why we fetishize the moment between winning a war against fascism and walking the Cold War path toward it. Democracy by any other name. If you name it and arm it, your polis will hold in any storm, like a well-sprayed hairdo, an updo like Audrey Hepburn's or Lana Turner's, the B-52s after the damage was done. Who's belly laughing now? It's been a nice long sleeping ride in the back seat of their Cadillacs where we've been allowed to sit silently in their atmosphere, breathing their Marlboro air. After tapping on the wheel for a chance to drive, we were knocked back into the middle of last century, our pinafored horror frozen on faces that hadn't yet screamed at the Beatles, hadn't yet seen Emmett Till. Bodies exploded on nightly news, the bringing down of America so we could bring ourselves up. And so there's just one more poem in here. It's called A Supermarket in Pisa. And I'm sure most of you have heard of A Supermarket in California by Allen Ginsberg. So it's after that. And Pisa was where Ezra Pound was imprisoned. What plots I have to unwrite tonight, Heidegger. Sorry for all the name dropping, but anyway, just flow with it. What plots I have to unravel tonight, Heidegger, for I blindfolded myself and spun around under the stars with a head full of panic, self-emptying, dreaming of a full moon or other horizon. In my fatigue with mere blindness and shopping for an escape from the sensorium, I put on noise-canceling headphones and entered the Imaginarium, supermarket to the stars, dreaming I was also Beethoven. Oh, senses and their enumerations. What pitches and what glissandos, whole lines chopped smoothly into perception as though Levertov whispered in my ear. I moved carefully, experimentally blind, shopping at night. Aisles full of whorehounds, babies coughing like tornadoes, and you, Robert Duncan, what were you doing down by the magazines, reading Mother Jones? I saw you, Ezra Pound, hardly guileless, lonely old scrubber freed from prison through New Directions editions of the Contos, poking among the MAGA, eyeing their brains and saying, nah, hardly F.T. Marinetti, just underpaid grocery boys. I heard you asking questions of each. Who killed the vortex? What price banalities? Are you the angel, the muse, or the twin day? I wandered in and out of your stacked lines, played on audible, following implied line breaks in their rhythms, and followed in my imagination by the store detective, Duncan. I'm like you, I'm just like referencing all these people. Okay. We strode through the open forms together, switching to Chet Baker's Let's Get Lost, tasting fancy lips, possessing every silver trumpet, and never passing the bottle hidden in Chet's pocket. Where are we going, Ezra? Our eyes close in an hour after we remove our blindfolds. Which way does your fear point tonight? I touch your book and feel and dream of our awkwardness in the supermarket and feel interred. Will we be hit tonight by Ubers speeding through solitary streets? The homeless are shades, lights out in the sodden tents. Like you, in your cage, dreaming of the lost bardo of war, while autodidacts and headphones make each cottage silent. Ah, feathery gray bird, lonely old Latin and Mandarin teacher, what Idaho did you leave when Mussolini quit killing his fairies, and you got out on a bank smoking a pipe and stood watching the boat you missed disappear on the tracked waters of the Grand Canal? So. So we're going to change the mood altogether for like 3 minutes, okay? And I know this is really like unusual, and maybe you're feeling really cynical right now, but no time for that because
it's time to sing. We're going to sing Melanie DeMar's great song, Lead With Love, to bring us into the future we're going to right now. And here's how it goes. We're going to put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Again,
going to put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Don't give up hope.
Don't give up hope.
You're not alone.
You're not alone.
Don't you give up.
Don't you give up.
I keep moving on.
I keep moving on.
Now you gotta put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
We're gonna put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Lift up your eyes.
Lift up your eyes.
Don't you despair.
Don't you despair.
Look up ahead.
Look up ahead.
The path is there.
The path is there.
And we're gonna put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
We're gonna put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
I know you're scared.
I know you're scared.
Well, I'm scared too.
Well, I'm scared too.
But here I am.
But here I am.
Right next to you.
Right next to you.
And we're gonna put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
And we're gonna put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Put
one foot in front of the other and lead with love, and lead with love, and lead with love.
Love, love, love.
Yeah. I know, for all, you know, sort of cynical poet types, I hope that was okay, but that was beautiful. Thank you, Colleen. And now we have 2 minutes for questions. do you guys want to stand up and can we take 2 minutes? Are you sure? Does anybody have a question for a particular poet or something you want to say or scream or cry? Yeah,
I just read that something's happening at the courthouse on Saturday at noon.
So, Colleen, what's the deal? We're going to sing there, too, right? It's April. Come on up and tell us.
April 5th. It's called Hands Off, All the Things That They Have Their Hands Into Right Now. And it's at a Water Street side of the courthouse building on those steps there. And there's going to be speakers. There's going to be singers. And solidarity with your community.
And as my friend said, if my 95-year-old parents can come out, so can you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. 12 to 2. 12 to 2.
Not to shame you. Yeah. Okay, thank you for asking that.
12.
12 to 2.
12 to 2 this Saturday.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good one. Like, what can we do? Where can we go? Where can we see each other again?
Yeah.
Come to Rosie McCann's after, or we'll see each other there too. Yeah, Chopsy.
I just want to thank you all for the work that went into putting this together.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling very emotional, and just to hear the bravery in these poems and the feeling of solidarity with all of us. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, that's what means everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. You two, let me get a picture of Nancy and Chopsy looking adorable, like little the little healers that they are. Yeah, go ahead. But you're not really up, because you go to bed really early. But you'll get up early and you'll read it. Okay, but you're there in your dreams. She really is.
Not really on Facebook.
I wrote on Facebook, so it's like a pretend thing.
Yeah.
You guys
It's like the Wordsworthian cloud. It's different than the AI cloud.
It's gluten-free Facebook.
It's gluten-free Facebook. Thank you so much. Now, y'all, we're going to hang out and talk with you by sitting here and signing the books that we hope that you'll buy and come talk with us and ask questions. But these really cool folks at Bookshop have lots of staff who've put... They moved all the shelves out, and then they did... So things have to kind of move along. So thank you so, so much for coming out. We love you. Thank you. All right. See you back up here.
Okay.